This is Mark Langdon's Bets Club.
Yes, welcome back to another edition of Mark Langdon's Bets Club. I'm Bruce Millington. Jack Reeve, your usual host, is absolutely sick of football. Poor old Norwich starting what looks like another long and painful downward trajectory on their yo-yo journey through life. He can't take it anymore. He's headed off to sunnier climes for a well-earned holiday. So I'm delighted to be making my Mark Langdon Bets Club debut with the great man. Mark, how are you, my friend?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks, Bruce. I do wonder whether Jack said he's refusing to come back on until Norwich win, which means you might be on until at least Christmas. Hopefully for his sake, not.
Well, he told me the next two. I didn't realise he meant the next 2 years. Okay, but we'll see how that goes. Mark, been some terrific action. We'll review some of that, but we'll also look ahead to what really is a pivotal week in the Premier League. We've got Chelsea versus Man City on Saturday. That's going to be a huge one. It'll be fascinating to see what your thoughts are. We've also got Mark's whistle-stop tour of all the other Premier League games. Grab a pen and paper to see who he fancies there. James Milton joins us to bring us the best EFL bets. We've got the best props. Mark's treble, Mark's nat, the long shot. And then we've had loads of great questions from you guys on Twitter, so we'll work through a few of them. Tons to get stuck into, though, but a really fascinating anti-post market right now is the sack race. It was always going to be interesting, Mark, because there's loads of new guys, there's managers under pressure. Here's the latest betting very roughly before you tell us where you think the value is. Arteta 5-2, Steve Bruce 100-30, Zisco 7s, Farker is 8s, Vieira 14, so is Lager, 16 Hasenhüttl, 28 Nuno and 33 Barr. We've had a first shout from Dave Reeves on Twitter. He says it's between Farker and Nuno. Is he right?
Well, I certainly think that Arteta is, I think he's the wrong favourite, really. I know they've got this big game at the weekend against Tottenham. But, I mean, if Arsenal would sort of, you know, at the urging to get rid of Arteta, they've had enough, I think, enough opportunities in the last sort of year or so to do it. I think that they are committed to that word that nobody seems to like, but sort of the project
I thought you were going to say that.
It feels like they are, and you know, Edu has been on Sky explaining, you know, the process and the way that they're looking to rebuild the team with a lot of sort of 22-23 year olds. And like I said, I think they could easily have sacked Arteta at the end of the season or when they went out of the Europa League. They haven't. Even there was a bit of pressure, wasn't there, right at the start of this season after the City and Chelsea games. But again, you know, he seems to have the backing. So I think it's a really good betting heat if you want to take on the favourite. I think that, I think Steve Bruce is in a bit of trouble, to be honest. I know that he's another one where Mike Ashley's had his opportunities to sack Bruce previously. But I look at sort of what he's coming out with in the press now, and he's kind of digging the Newcastle owner out. I think he, you know, is had enough. He's sick of everybody blaming him. Four of their next six Premier League games are away. The two home ones are Tottenham and Chelsea. So there is potential there, I think, for Newcastle to sort of their run to get even worse. So I would say that Steve Bruce should be the favourite, and he's around about 100-30 now.
Really, I don't get that, Mark. No. I don't get that.
You don't get the vibe.
Well, Ashley's very loyal, isn't he? And I mean, there's been basically Bruce is just constantly under pressure. You know, they get results every so often. I mean, they're not in huge danger just yet. I do take your point that the upcoming fixtures may well change that situation. But I mean, Ashley is not a sacking manager, is he? And I'm just not so sure about that. And I also will say this. I watched the first half. Well, I watched the whole of Newcastle versus Leeds. I thought that was one of the most entertaining first halves I've seen in many a year. It was absolutely brilliant. I mean, they cannot say, the Newcastle fans cannot say that was not an entertaining match. I'm just not sure about Bruce. And more to the point, I'm not sure about Ashley, because I just don't think whether it's he's, he just doesn't fancy paying out the compensation, or he just believes that in actual fact you're better off keeping the manager that you've got unless things are going disastrously wrong. I just think there's more kind of trigger happy owners and chairmen out there. I guess it can't go on forever. I take your point, and probably can't be that much fun for Bruce. But I don't know. I would have just thought by the time things get so bad that Ashley decides to make a change, I would have thought at least one or two have already gone.
I mean, I suppose the one that I had at sort of around about 8-1 and it is Farker, because I do one, and you could argue, couldn't you, that if Norwich get relegated, who's the best person to get them back up? Then it's him. But I do wonder just how long you can just keep on accepting sort of getting beaten in the Premier League, and just sort of, you know, it's not always by the big teams. They had a bad start, but, you know, the Watford game was a big one for them. They don't seem to get any better in sort of their in what they're trying to do in the Premier League. So, I mean, he was one at 8 that I looked at. I think that Nuno's an interesting shout there from Dave at 28-1. Yeah, he wasn't. I mean, if you were doing like Family Fortunes and sort of asked 100 Tottenham people to sort of name their next manager, you know, it would have been a for Nuno if somebody would have suggested that. So, you know, they've had these two absolute shockers, the 3-0s. They've got Arsenal at the weekend. We're speaking before the game against Wolves in the League Cup. I mean, he could be under big pressure, I think. He's only signed a 2-year contract. I don't think Daniel Levy wanted him in the first place. He was about 9th choice, wasn't he? So, I mean, at 28-1, yeah, you know, he could be the one that sort of, you know, outside of the obvious ones, I think.
Yeah, I go along with that. I mean, I'd much rather back Farker at 8 than Bruce at 113. And I do agree with you about Nuno. I mean, it comes to something when the Palace fans are saying how glad they are that they didn't get Nuno, and he's at Tottenham. But that is the way it is. So, yeah, it's a really fascinating market, though, isn't it? And I think what tends to happen, Mark, I find with the sack race is that as soon as someone gets plunged into that crisis situation that all the tabloids are smearing them all over the back page, they go extremely short. But in actual fact, that's always the point at which their struggles are at their deepest. And it tends to actually get better before it gets worse. So we'll see how that develops. But it's a really, really interesting market. But talking to two managers who aren't struggling right now, obviously Chelsea and Man City, Tuchel versus Guardiola in the game of the weekend. Let's look at that next. Kind of feels a little bit early in the season, Mark, for what will doubtless be billed a title decider, but we've got it. It's also a bit early in the day. I don't really like these mega games being 12:30 on a Saturday lunchtime, but we've got it. It's going to be absolutely fantastic. It's Chelsea versus Man City, Stamford Bridge, 12:30 on Saturday. The bookies can barely separate them at the top of the Premier League market, and they can likewise struggle to separate them in the betting. It's around about 13-8 Chelsea, it's 7-4 City, it's 9-4 the draw. The Twitter poll's interesting, isn't it? Because we asked people to say who they think should be favourites, and I think that our Twitter audience takes a different view to the bookies, doesn't it, Mark?
Absolutely. It's a landslide for Chelsea. 77% of people that have voted on the Racing Post Sport Twitter account say that they believe Chelsea should be rated favourites to win the Premier League, which, I mean, I voted for Manchester City in that particular market. But, you know, if you do think that Chelsea should be favourites, there's only one bet for you to have this weekend, isn't there? Because, you know, with home advantage, you know, the bookmakers are saying there's nothing between City and Chelsea, which is, I think, they just goes to show the respect that City have got in the market. And a massive week for Man City, because after Chelsea, Paris Saint-Germain and then Liverpool. So we'll know a lot more about Guardiola's team, I'd say, over the next 10 days.
That's incredible. That really, really is some schedule, isn't it? I've got to say here, Mark, that I've been with Chelsea right from the word go in the title battle. I just think that Lukaku is the final piece in the jigsaw. I think that they're the perfect team now. I watched them at the weekend, and just the way they just brought Kante on. I just feel with centre midfield, I think, you know, with Kovacic and Jorginho and now Kante in there, that engine is absolutely phenomenal. Lukaku, different class. They're just strong everywhere. Alonso's playing well. There's cover everywhere. I think the big difference really is that Lukaku guarantees them goals. And as we saw with City, sorry, this is the Mark Langdon Betts Club, not the Bruce Millington Betts Club, but I thought I'd get this off my chest pretty quickly. I think with City, I don't know, Mark, were they so confident of getting Kane that they just thought, well, we don't need to worry about other options? They didn't seem to have a plan B there. And now I know you like Torrens as a potential solution, but to me, they're going to have a few of those games like they did against Southampton when they just can't convert. Whereas I just think Chelsea will always score. So I'm big on Chelsea, but what's your view on this?
Well, my view is that I think that Guardiola believes that Ferran Torres can be the centre forward. And he was speaking about him being the centre forward last season towards the end of the campaign. So I think this was always in his mind that if they didn't get Kane, they would use Ferran Torres up front. His movement's really good. And he's not sort of a Kane or a Haaland or a Lukaku. But I actually like the way, I think he suits the way that the Man City play quite well. So I'm not as worried about that as what everybody else is. I think the key for me, really, just in terms of who should be favourites to win the title, was that when City went to Tottenham, they were 1.61. When Chelsea went to Tottenham, they were almost, they weren't far short of evens by kickoff. Now, I know that Chelsea won 3-0 and City lost that game, but I think that does go to show on a week-by-week basis, where the sophisticated match market sort of see the sort of superiority of Manchester City. And if you look at like the XG, sort of the goal difference, Man City are at 9.5 and nobody else is, Liverpool just off them, and then nobody else is plus 3 for expected goal difference. So
isn't that partly because Chelsea have been leading quite early in the game? So, I mean, for instance, you know, they didn't need to bother getting the opening game against Palace. Nothing. You know, I just think they're kind of sauntering. They obviously weren't going to score loads against Liverpool, were they? Because they were a man down. You have to take that game state factor in there, don't you?
Yeah, but I wasn't sure of their performance against Aston Villa.
First
half against Spurs. I know that, I mean, he sorted it out at half-time and the second half was really impressive from Chelsea. But first half, I didn't think they were that good. I mean, I still think that Chelsea have got a solid chance of winning the Premier League. But I think just in terms of who should be favourites, I think that is Manchester City. I'm going to contradict myself here, though, because I think in the betting for Saturday's game, that this is where I am probably more interested in Chelsea draw no bet, because City in big away matches, I think this is their Achilles heel, really. And anyway, it's difficult, isn't it? It's difficult to win away matches against the top teams, but they've been notoriously bad by their high standards in these type of games. If you have a look at over the last three seasons, they've played 18 matches away in the Premier League, teams who finished in the top seven, and they've only won 7 of those. And you know, for a Manchester City team that averages under Guardiola nearly 90 points a campaign, I think that's pretty average, really. It's certainly not what you would expect, I think, of a team that has been dominant at times in the Premier League. So what they're very good at is beating the bad sides. And it's in these sort of one-off games against the big teams that I think that they do tend to struggle a little bit more. And I don't think De Bruyne is fully fit yet. I don't think Foden's fully fit yet. So it's actually, I think, a good opportunity for Chelsea, to at least not lose this game. And of course, Tuchel definitely had Guardiola's number last season, including in that Champions League final, when I thought Chelsea were quite comfortably the better team, actually.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, on the draw no bet, Mark, it's 5-6 each of two. So I totally get that. With that, you know, home advantage is back and it's a thing again, isn't it? So yeah, I couldn't agree more with you. So you just fancy a straight Chelsea draw no bet, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, I've explained this a few times previously, but I do like draw no bet as an option, particularly in these games where, you know, the draw looks a fair runner to me, doesn't it? I mean, it's the biggest price of the three outcomes. If it's 1-1 with, say, 20 minutes to go, I don't see either team really pushing for it. You know, it's early, as you mentioned, it's early on in the season. It's probably more important not to lose the game. But I just feel like Chelsea probably arrive at this game in better shape than Manchester City do at the moment.
Interesting stuff. Loads more great Premier League action to whiz through in just a minute. Okay, we've talked about the first Premier League game this weekend, which is also the best one, Chelsea v Man City. Let's get Mark's very quick thoughts on where the value lies in the other 9 games. Nice and quick. We'll start off with Man U Villa.
Yes, I mean, I'm going to get... Initially, when I looked at this game, Bruce, I was like, oh, this has got to be high scoring. But 11-8, under 2.5, just felt quite big, particularly Aston Villa. Their total XG is the third lowest in the league this season, so they're defending quite well, not creating loads. So I just thought 11 to 8 unders was quite big.
They've coped or readapted to life without Grealish pretty well, haven't they, Villa?
Yeah, I think so. The squad looks better. You could argue, like, Leon Bailey came on the other day and
cool,
made
that
a big
was
difference.
Good, wasn't it?
Yeah,
wow.
It was, yeah, not a bad 15-minute cameo. You've seen bits of Ings already, that spectacular goal he got against Newcastle. And I think you look at the bench and you can see more options. Also, the young player Ramsey looks like he could be decent as well. So I think it's difficult to be better without Jack Grealish, but I certainly think they've done well with the money that they had to spend and sort of where they've spent it.
Everton versus Norwich.
Yeah, I mean, this I thought was a horrible game, particularly don't quite know Richarlison and Status and Calvert-Lewin's been out as well. So I was just, I mean, if you wanted to have a bet, I was looking at Iwobi around about 12-1 to score first. I just noticed he'd been playing advanced because of those injuries, and he spent a little bit of time up front. And, you know, I don't know if Rondon can play again, having sort of, you know, started in the last couple of matches. So maybe look at the team news, but a tricky game. You expect Everton to win, but I wouldn't back them at the price.
Righty-ho, Leeds take on West Ham. Who do you like here?
Yeah, this feels like one of those sort of matchups you hear the sort of American punters talking about when they sort of like situational bets. I mean, this looks, I think, a bad situation for Leeds, because the one thing they're not good at is defending set pieces, and there's probably nobody better than West Ham in the whole of the league for sort of attacking them. So I was just looking, maybe no price is up yet, but check to see what price first goal is, a method of first goal is a header. Because, like I said, I expect West Ham to pummel Leeds in that area. I know you back Leeds to be relegated, Bruce, this year.
I have actually, only on the old value grounds. I you know, they probably won't be relegated, but I just thought 14-1 was a bit big. Do you know what, Mark? If you look at some of the, if you were to sort of have a group of experts, you could have yourself and various other people, and say, right, we're going to vote on the worst 30 defensive goals conceded this year. Leeds would feature in a lot of those. Even against Newcastle, they just give that. They're very reckless in possession sometimes, I think. And I just personally, I just think West Ham are a much better team here. So I'm all over West Ham for this. Where do you stand on Leeds, Mark? Kevin Pulling did a really good article about wage bills and how that is easily the prime factor in where teams finish. And Leeds, I noticed, had the fourth lowest wage bill. You know, like I say, I love them. It's great to have them back in the Premier League. But I just think in terms of value, I can't have them at such a big price compared to the ones at the sort of head of the relegation market.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they'll be relegated. I hear the sort of value argument. I expect that they'll be OK. I've not been impressed with them this season so far. That's, you know, even against Newcastle, there was some real ragged moments there that I'm not sure that is actually part of the Bielsa plan to be that ragged. You know, he's a very attack minded manager, but I don't think he expects the players to be dragged all over the place like they kind of have been by what is ultimately, you know, a pretty average team in Newcastle. And, you know, against Liverpool and Man United, they were nowhere near either.
I sometimes see teams when they're playing Leeds, they find themselves in with so much space in really dangerous areas. And I just think, hang on a sec, you don't see teams defend like this anymore. It's just, nah. I don't know. I'm sure they'll be fine. I'm sure Bamford will start scoring again. There's a lot of talent there. But I just thought 14-1, you could have 14-5, isn't it? And pay for a nice meal out in May if it comes off. Leicester versus Burnley.
Yeah, I mean, I won't be backing Leicester at 8-15 here. I mean, it feels like a no bet kind of game, but if you do want to have one, I would say Burnley or draw, double chance. Leicester have had the fewest shots in the league. They're playing on Wednesday, so quick turnaround from the Millwall game. I think Fofana's injury at the, you know, before the season started was just massive for them, and they don't look the same team that we'd sort of come to expect under Rodgers. So I'd be quite nervy of backing them 8-15, that's for sure.
Watford take on Newcastle. Is there a decent value bet here?
Yeah, I think there is. Both teams to score. I mean, you mentioned it about Newcastle. It was like watching the Kevin Keegan team.
It was
times
brilliant, wasn't it? Some of that stuff was just so exciting. And St. Maxin, man, I love the guy. I just think he's got that magic in his boots. I really, really, he's so entertaining, isn't he?
He is. He carries a big threat for them going forward. But they've conceded expected goals of at least 2.2 in four of their five games. I mean, that is astonishingly high. So they're not dull. I mean, you know, I see Bruce gets criticised for being too defensive. Certainly not the case anymore. But I don't think they're a very good team. And so they are giving up a lot of opportunities at the moment.
How long's Callum Wilson out for?
Yeah, he's not going to be available, I don't think, for this game. But I actually thought that they've attacked reasonably well, even without him. I think Sam Maximin and Almiron and even Joe Ellington, to an extent, are decent forward options. And you've got Willett breaking from midfield as well. So, I could see Newcastle scoring. I don't fancy him to win necessarily.
So you like both teams to score there, do you?
Yeah, I do.
OK, Brentford take on Liverpool. Who do you like here?
They're a really interesting game, but Liverpool and under 3.5 goals, I thought, was the way to go. If you have a look at Brentford, made a brilliant start to life in the Premier League. I'm not just talking about the results. If you have a look at sort of the underlying stats, conceded the third fewest shots. Only City have conceded fewer shots on target. Their XG against is second best only to Man City as well. I mean, that it's been a reasonably easy start on the fixture list, I suppose, but I still think that those numbers are impressive. I don't expect them to continue against Liverpool, who have been probably the best team so far, and certainly from an attacking point of view, that all of their sort of big hitters are playing well. So Liverpool can win the game, but they might have to grind this one out.
Okay, Mark, if you're ranking the 20 Premier League teams in terms of the ones that have changed their style most from last season, Wolves would be top three, wouldn't they?
Probably be top, yeah. I mean, Bruno Lage has definitely got them playing a different brand of football. I was surprised by the way that they were beaten quite so easily by Brentford. But I've been impressed with them for large parts of the season, which is why I'm going draw no bet at Wolves at Southampton. I think this game might actually suit Wolves a little bit, where they can, the onus isn't on them as much to kind of do the breaking down, and then they can just settle into their game. But I think the league position is wrong for Wolves at the moment. I expect them to pick up sooner rather than later.
Righto, the battle for ninth.
Palace against Brighton, we're doing that after.
No, that's the battle for eighth, I'm hoping. Oh, okay. Arsenal, Tottenham. Well, what is it the battle for, Mark? Where will these two teams finish, first of all? Tell me that.
Oh, I would say they would probably... I mean, look, it hasn't started well for either team, but I think they'll probably finish both top seven come the end of the season, I think.
Or finish higher.
I would edge towards Arsenal. I think a lot will depend on sort of Harry Kane's mojo and whether he can get it back. I just think Arsenal not having Europe could be a big factor as the season goes on. Lucas and Bergwijn, you saw they got injured in that Thursday night game, couldn't then play against Chelsea. And then, Nuno's looking at his bench and he hasn't got anything to really change the game when it started to go wrong there. And, it does take a lot out of teams, I think, that those Thursday night matches. In terms of this game, though, there's been a bit of money for Arsenal. I'm not sort of fully bought into it yet. I mean, on another day, they don't win that game against Burnley. They only beat Norwich 1-0 and everyone's beating Norwich. So I was looking at the draw. And four of the last seven at the Emirates in the Premier League have been draws. I think the draw's a big runner in sort of derby games where, a bit like what I mentioned earlier, that sort of desire not to lose the game can sometimes, just mean that you don't get the thrilling finish. If it's 1-1, with 20 to go, they almost both sort of feel like they're declaring a little bit.
5-4 Arsenal, no thank you.
Yeah, exactly.
And
yeah.
Finally, the Monday night game, the big one, the M23 derby. Oh, it's not a derby. Yes, it is a derby. It's Palace versus Brighton. Who's going to win, Mark?
I was looking at your boys, Palace, draw no bet. I just thought as outsiders, that interested me. The Liverpool game, the Chelsea game, the two that they've sort of been well beaten in, you are going to get beat, I think, in those type of matches. But they played
there was
well
a lot
against
more, Mark. There was a lot more to like about the Liverpool performance than the Chelsea performance. Believe me, they really have picked up since. I mean, Chelsea, we just didn't lay a glove on them. But I thought we gave Liverpool a few problems, and Klopp actually called it one of the hardest fought 3-0 wins he's had. So there's some good signs.
Yeah, there are, and for Brighton, it's just the way that, I mean, in sort of the week that Jimmy Greaves sort of died, you know, funny old game, but it really is a sort of funny old game. That Brighton played better last season, I thought, than what they have done this time around, and yet they're getting probably the little bits of luck that were missing last time. So I'm not surprised they're doing a lot better, but I think this is a difficult game for them, really, and I just thought, you know, with it being derby, or like a derby, you know, home advantage could be worth a bit to Palace here. And as outsiders, you know, draw no bet was the way I was looking.
Excellent. Thank you very much indeed. What's your best bet out of all those Premier League games, would you say, Mark?
Watford, Newcastle, both teams to score.
Okay, I'm going to go West Ham at Leeds. Right then, next up, we're going to hear from James Milton, who's got all the best bets in the EFL.
Dan Charles is off today, so we've brought in James Milton to give us the best EFL bets for the week. Milt, what have you got for us?
Yeah, big boots to fill with Charlesy in fine form. I like the look of Reading at home to Middlesbrough in the televised championship game, early kickoff on Saturday. I mean, Reading, you, as a punter, you're concerned about their defence. They're conceding tons of goals, but they're scoring loads as well. And, you know, really eye-catching win at title favourites Fulham last weekend. Beat Peterborough in their previous home game. And I just think kind of around 7-4 at home to a Borough side who are looking pretty poor this season. You know, they were outplayed by Blackpool in a home defeat last weekend. I think you can definitely take a chance on Reading's attackers scoring more than their defenders can see.
Yeah, it feels like there's a bit of pressure around Warnock at Middlesbrough. And for all that Reading got off-field issues, I mean, that was a fine result last week at Fulham. What's next best?
Yes, I'm down in League Two for my next one. Port Vale away at Scunthorpe look a solid selection, kind of shade of odds on. I think they are Vale, but you know they've won three of their last four. That includes a victory at Forest Green, who are obviously flying at the top of the table. And last weekend, really straightforward home win over Harrogate. Terrific strike from David Worrell to get Vale up and running in that game. And, you know, Scunthorpe really struggled last season. And it looks like another tough campaign for them, beating 4-0 at home by Exeter in their last home match. And, yeah, this could be a similar story for Scunny, I'm afraid.
Yeah, and the market absolutely hates Scunthorpe most weeks. And then, and finally, what's the last one?
Yeah, staying in the basement for this, and Leighton Orient, who are a team I've been really impressed with this season, at home to Mansfield, who I think, you know, Mansfield anti-post backers again are not feeling in good terms with themselves, really, and they face a really tough trip to Orient. They've won four of their last five at home to nil in all competitions, Orient. Cruised to an away win at Bristol Rovers last weekend, and Mansfield, you know, I mentioned Reading's defence, but Mansfield without a clean sheet this season, they've conceded 20 goals in 10 games in all competitions. You know, it's stark contrast to Orient's defensive record at home. And yeah, I think Orient around kind of 13-10 look a really decent bet.
Thank you very much, James. Great stuff. Okay, Mark, time to put you on the spot. Best bets. Let's whiz through them. We'll start with the props. And you might have heard, dear listener, the word prop crop up a lot more. Mark, just tell people what a prop is and where it came from. It's a transatlantic term, isn't it?
It is, yeah. It's obviously an American term for, you know, what they initially was fantasy type sort of bets that have turned into fixed odds ones now that they're legally able to bet. So it's basically player performance.
Proposition, isn't it?
Yeah, and it would, you know, it falls under players to be carded, players to, you know, have shots on target or total shots. But I think you can sort of, you know, you can even say that, you know, first goal scorer and anytime goal scorer, I think, also come into that. It's just... because they've been more regularly sort of been able to bet on, then they're maybe not considered that type of bet more than, say, these newer ones like Man of the Match or whatever.
Okay, away you go. What have you got, Statman Lango?
Yeah, so this actually is on the anytime goal scorer market. So the shots markets are not up yet. So I would say to check out Souček and Zouma, you know, once those markets are up, because that might be a better way to approach this. But for now, split stakes on Souček and Zouma, anytime goal scorers. Last season, Leeds conceded 15 goals from set pieces, and they've already conceded a couple this season. Last term, West Ham scored the most goals from set pieces, 16 of them. Cresswell puts in a brilliant delivery. It's nearly always on the money. You know that Moyes practices the set pieces. Souček, I think, is well known for sort of being that threat for West Ham. But Zouma, he was the one for Chelsea last season. He was attacking the ball brilliantly. And, you know, Thiago Silva sort of taking up that mantle now. But, you know, he chipped in for Chelsea. So I just thought, you know, this is one of those bets where you're getting with West Ham in their main strength and attacking a real weakness of Leeds United.
Okay, by the way, quickly, while we're on the subject of West Ham, Mark, where did you stand on Noble coming on to take the pen?
I wasn't against it. He's their best penalty taker by a long way. They'd had a terrible record of them previously. I didn't think it was the worst thing to do.
No, I agree with you completely. I think there's a lot of luck involved. And everyone banging on about this, hadn't he learnt from what happened with England? It's a totally different thing. It's a tiny little sample. People love a narrative, don't they?
We've seen managers bring on people for penalty shootouts and scoring them. I mean, it's not, I mean, the England players that missed just missed is one of them things.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing that surprised me about it was that Noble, on his way from the dugout to the penalty spot, didn't seek out Declan Rice and force him to humbly hand over the captain's armband like he usually has to.
I mean, it was a bad penalty, but he's one of the best penalty takers in the Premier League. I mean, if there would have been people, had, say, Declan Rice taken it and missed, there would have been people going, why didn't you bring Noble on? So, yeah, I wasn't against it.
As someone texted me last night, and they said that after Norwich missed a penalty, I said, this guy's been running around for 41 minutes. He shouldn't have missed that. All nonsense. What's your best long shot, Mark?
Right, so there's two that I'm not going to sort of select, but I would throw them into the mixer at least. That's Hertha Berlin, 9-1 at Leipzig. Leipzig are just not the same team as they were sort of last couple of years. And Mainz, who I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, having in Bo Svensson one of the best managers in the Bundesliga. He's got a better points per game record at Mainz than what Jurgen Klopp and Thomas Tuchel had at the same club. So he's definitely one to watch out for. They're 7-2 at Leverkusen, but Leverkusen are a team I really like. So there might be better spots to get with Mainz. So what that means is Carlisle, 11-5 at Sutton. I think Sutton have done okay since they've come up to the EFL. But, you know, Carlisle have definitely got improvement to come in them. They've maybe drawn too many matches this season, but they've beaten Swindon and Salford, two teams I think that are not only share a sort of starting letter S with Sutton, but are probably better than them as well. And if you have a look at sort of Carlisle before, and Dan mentioned this last week, and Dan Charles, you know, before COVID hit at sort of the sort of midway point of last season, they were the best team in League Two, still got a lot of those players. 11-5 just looks a little bit overpriced to me.
Oh, the long shot. Well, that was painful last week, wasn't it? Valencia leading for 86 minutes against Real Madrid and conceded two. Goodness
yeah, me. I mean, Bruce, I'm sort of more of a, in those spots, I would more often than not sort of, and on this occasion, I laid the favourites. So I was laid Real Madrid. So it was even worse than Valencia. Not, I mean, because you feel like, okay, they might get one, they're not going to get two. And then they did, but one of them things.
Weird colour away kit, sort of luminous green, wasn't it? I'm not sure about that. Kevin Pelling always thinks that they shouldn't have green kits, shouldn't be allowed because they clash with the pitch. And I tended to agree with that one. Give us a treble for the weekend.
Okay, so it pays just over 4-1. Rochdale to beat Crisis Club Oldham. I am a little bit nervous about teams, you know, when they've just been beaten by 7 like they were Oldham at Brentford. But, you know, they've been on a downward spiral for a while. And, you know, there's a lot of off-field issues at the moment. And Rochdale, 11 points in their last 5 games, seem like they've reacted sort of quite well to relegation. Cheltenham are doing well in League One, but I think that Wigan, who've hit the top of the table and, you know, four wins on the spin in the league, I thought that they were solid enough. And then to complete the treble, Atletico, who never do it easy, so they are likely to give you the odd moment of nerves. But as we speak, their opponents, Alaves, are pointless in La Liga. Atletico have had extra rest as well. And like I say, you can't expect a 4-5-0. It's not the way Atletico do it, but one goal could be enough.
Well, they did a Real the other night, didn't they? They were 1-0 down against Getafe. Getafe had a man sent off, and then they pounced, didn't they?
They did, yeah. Luis Suarez pops up with a couple of goals. You got Griezmann. Yeah, there's enough attacking players to get the job done. And they conceded a goal from an Oblak mistake, and you can sort of count them on one hand over sort of the last decade.
What a keeper he is. Right, yeah. Then, if you only had one football bet this weekend, Mark, what would it be?
So we have already mentioned it, but I'm going back to this Watford v Newcastle, both teams to score. I mean, Newcastle's results, I sort of joked about Kevin Keegan, but, you know, 4-2 against West Ham. They lost 2-0 at Villa when Wilson missed an absolute sitter. 2-2 with Southampton, 4-1 against Man United, 1-1 against Leeds when there were 16 shots on target. I mean, that's absolutely
if you backed overs
incredible.
If you backed overs in that game, you are so unlucky. It was a mad game. I loved it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a bit of crude working out, but yeah, it's often said about three shots on target and for one goal. So, I mean, you know, there could have been five goals in that game, and I don't think anybody would have said that it was wrong. If you have a look at Newcastle, they've scored in 12 of their last 30 matches, which kind of backs up what you were saying, Bruce, about them not being as dull as maybe that sort of the picture that's painted of them. But they've played 28 Premier League games this year. They've only kept four clean sheets, and three of those were against West Brom, Sheffield United and Fulham, who are no longer with us in the Premier League. The other was against Everton. So in terms of against top flight clubs, that defence just doesn't cope. And so, you know, Watford with Ismaïla Sarr, a real big threat for them on the wing. I just thought like, both teams have scored about 4-5, and that I don't think does justice to the great entertainers that are Newcastle United.
No, absolutely. You've convinced me. Right then, we put out an appeal for some Twitter questions and we got loads of really good ones. Thank you very much indeed for getting in touch. Sorry we can't do them all. But here we go. James Dexter says, Mark, will we see a new manager bounce at Nottingham Forest? Obviously, Chris Hughton out and Steve Cooper in. Will that be a net benefit for the Tricky Trees?
Oh, I don't see it as a negative for them. I think that Steve Cooper's always does quite well in terms of being able to bring in sort of, you know, those good loanees that, you know, I'm assuming will come in January. I don't think he's that much better than Chris Hughton, though. And so maybe the problems do run sort of deeper at Forest than just the manager, because enough of them have had a go recently and not managed to, you know, make a success of it. So I'm not sure I believe in the new manager bounce at Nottingham Forest. I'm not against Steve Cooper, but I don't see some, you know, massive improvement coming, no.
OK, with fixture congestion, NFL better says, do we see a time when the Premier League drops to 16 teams? And no 3 p.m. Saturday games? Well, they're two very different things there. I mean, first of all, do you think the 20-team format is sacrosanct for the time being?
Oh, I wouldn't be surprised if we went to 18. You know, I mean, it's only going one way, isn't it? And I think they'll try to protect it, but it wouldn't amaze me if, like, in, I don't know, within 20 years, we're at 18-team league. And I think in terms of the 3 o'clock, I think if they don't get rid of the blackout, I reckon the big teams will push for these no 3 o'clock Saturday games just because of the revenue that can be earned from, you know, probably some kind of Netflix style streaming, I would have thought. I mean, you know, if you look at sort of how much money a team like Manchester United could make, you know, from sort of running their own kind of, sort of, I know they've got MUTV, but you know, to be able to show games and stuff.
Exactly, it's the obvious funding, isn't it? Basically, it is. if you're the most popular teams, you charge to watch your team.
Yeah.
But that might not be very good for the whole pyramid.
I think it would be bad, but you know, I mean, the super clubs didn't care about sort of, you know, going to start their own league at one stage. So I'm sure if they can't get that, they'll be pushing, you know, all the time to, you know, make themselves stronger and at the expense of everyone else.
What's your favourite kickoff time, Mark? Say you're going to see your beloved Tottenham at home. You've got the whole weekend off. What's the perfect kickoff time for you?
Oh, I like the Saturday, and I would say either 3 o'clock or 5:30.
5:30 is mine. I love a bit of 5:30 Saturday. It's perfect. You've got more time in the pub, and you can still do stuff in the evening.
Yeah, I think that 5:30 is always a good atmosphere. I think the 5:30 one is the one. Yeah.
Okay, Wellness says, how did we all get Charlton and Mansfield so wrong? Do Adkins and Clough need sacking? I'm afraid my lowly knowledge is so so poor these days. I don't have a clue what he's on about, but you surely will.
Yeah, I mean, Mansfield have been sort of spoken about every year for, it feels like about 5 years. I didn't fall for them, thankfully, this year. I don't think they can get... I think Nigel Clough's a good manager. It's not going well, but I'm not sure that sacking him immediately solves those problems. With Nigel Adkins, and I did go for Charlton in League One. Yeah, I mean, it's always the same with old Nige. When things aren't going well and he's Mr. Positive, it doesn't sit great with the fans. And, you know, he just feels and looks a bit of an oddball. I think that it's harsh on him, but, you know, it's been sort of, you know, it's always been the way for Adkins. And I think that Charlton have started the season badly, and I wouldn't be amazed if he was sort of on borrowed time.
Righty-ho, Neville Bartos. Thank you very much for your question, Neville. Opinion on Wolves and Traore. Bar carrying the ball, he can't do anything else. He certainly wins the shiniest biceps in football, doesn't he?
He does.
How do you rate Traore?
Yeah, I mean, we spoke about Wolves, and I think that, you know, they've been a little bit unlucky this season with how things have gone against them. I like Traore. I think he's a little bit misunderstood, and I was one of those that was championing him coming to Tottenham for when he was being quite strongly linked. I think if you do that ball carrying and then just say, pass it to, you know, the striker, I think he's a wonderful player. That dribbling is such an unusual thing. To be able to sort of, you know, have 11 successful dribbles like he does, and you see the next best in the Premier League is about 3 or 4. It's just extraordinary. Now, He does look a bit wasteful, but I think that's because he gets into the position more times than just about anyone else. And I think that if you had the right players around him, and a little bit more coaching, and other people have said this for a while about him, but I just think he's got to do the dribbling and then pass it to a striker. And we know that Raul Jimenez is maybe not playing to quite the level he was before his head injury. And so you wonder if Wolves have got those players to finish off his good work. I'm a Traore fan.
I am as well. I'm always glad when he's not on the team sheet again.
Absolutely.
Conor Braley brings up an interesting point. He says, if you look at what's happened with Derby and Reading, etc., will the bookies stop betting on lower league relegation? Because, you know, all of a sudden these clubs out of nothing go into administration. They're docked 12 points. So effectively, well, they're not always down, but it often happens. And we actually heard in response to this on Twitter from Alan Alger at Betway. And he said that it's already happened in non-league football. They've stopped betting on non-league relegation, and he could see it being certainly extended. Could you as well, Mark? I mean, it's the real sort of kind of random factor in relegation betting, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. You know, I think the bookmakers would be loath to do that because of the popularity of sort of, you know, people who like to have their multiple bets and sort of, you know, relegations across the leagues and winners across the league. I think they'll do everything in their power to not do it. You do get situations where some teams like Derby weren't priced up for relegation. And, you know, they were just sort of almost taken off the boards, which I don't think is ideal. But I still think people would rather that than, you know, than not be able to, say, bet on Championship relegation. Where I think it's had a major impact is on stuff like group and match betting, because we definitely at Racing Post don't get anywhere near as much of that as we used to. And I you know, you can understand that, don't you? Because if you one team against another, that becomes very messy, I think, and unsatisfactory to the punter when they have a bet on, you know, maybe Reading to finish above, I don't know, Swansea or whatever, and then you're done like that. So I see it being more on the subsidiary markets where you won't get as many of those type of bets available.
Yeah, I think it's a shame. I used to love a wading through a vast array of seasonal match bets, but you're right, there's certainly far fewer. Now, finally, from Lucas, Do we envisage a change in fortunes for Ipswich? Do they need to sack Paul Cook? I mean, I suppose, Mark, if you're looking at underachieving teams in the Football League, Ipswich are right up there, aren't they?
They are. They are. This doesn't surprise me. On sort of our big kickoff video show, I said I didn't fancy Ipswich because I thought they would start slowly. I think, yeah, some teams can get away with it. But if you buy it in, what, 11, 12, 13 new players, I mean, it might even be more than that. It's really difficult to hit the ground running. And I know that Paul Cook was there last year, but this is a new team. I think that Paul Cook has done well at this level previously and in a higher league. So I think that sacking Paul Cook would be the wrong thing to do. I do envisage Ipswich getting better as the season goes on. I mean, that's a pretty easy thing to say because their wage bill and their talent suggest that they almost certainly will. But what happened at the start of the season, I think doesn't overly surprise me. And I also think they've been a little bit unlucky in one or two games. And I look at the talent on that pitch. I mean, it might be a little bit late because some of the other big teams have also started well. They've given themselves a lot to do. But I always fancied them to sort of come on strong as the season went on. And I'm not changing that opinion. I just think they'll get better as the team gets used to each other.
Okay, Mark. And finally, I've got one for you. We often talk about kits, don't we, throughout the... So I think it's 20 years we've worked together now. It was your 40th the other week, wasn't it?
I
couldn't believe it. It seems like no time ago that you're a fresh-faced lad. Always going to boss it because you're always a great judge. And you're also not a bad judge of football kits. What's your favourite Premier League kit you've seen so far this season?
Do you know what? Everyone hates that Tottenham away one, don't they? But I quite like it.
Kids' pajamas.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it's mainly kids that wear it, isn't it? You know, the kit. I do like that.
My first kit for ages the other day. Have you seen our third kit? It's white and light blue halved.
Oh,
It's in honour of the fact that the old Crystal Palace in 1860. It's beautiful.
Bridge, I quite like the Palace. Sort of the both the kits I've seen from Palace are quite strong.
Yeah, no, we're good on kits. I must say, though, Mark, I did enjoy, quite apart from the game itself, I did enjoy Leeds' lilac away, added us away. I thought that was a beautiful kit. And the commentator went back to the sort of 70s. He said Leeds wearing that lilac away kit. He goes, you certainly wouldn't have seen Billy Bremner wearing that. Why? Why on earth? What's wrong with that?
I'm sure if he was getting paid 50 grand a week as part of the package, I'm sure he would have stuck it on.
I just didn't understand the comment. It's very weird, very weird. Okay, right then. Jolly good. Okay, then. Next week as well, Mark, obviously we've got Champions League is back. So have you had a little early look beyond the horizon to see what we've got there, and is there any decent bets there?
Yeah, Club Brugge or Club Brugge, big outsiders at Leipzig. I sort of briefly mentioned that I thought that Leipzig are not the same team as last year. Obviously, Konate went to Liverpool, Upamecano, Sabitzer, and Nagelsmann all went to Bayern Munich together. So, a new team, new manager. I thought they were beaten well. That 6-3 against Man City. Man City could have just scored as many as they wanted. They didn't even play that well, City. And Club Brugge, I mean, 1-1 against Paris Saint-Germain, but they outshot PSG 16-9, and it was 7-4 on target. So they might be outsiders to watch. I know that there's a bit of hype going around a couple of their sort of forward players, Lang and Ketelaere, I think it is, the centre forward. They did well in the Champions League last season, so watch out for them. There's a lot of shorties this week, Bruce. I don't know if you've had a look at the coupon yet, but Ajax to beat Beşiktaş. These are all home teams. Ajax, Beşiktaş, Dortmund to beat Sporting, Real Madrid to beat Sheriff Tiraspol, Atalanta against Young Boys, Zenit against Malmo, and Bayern against Kiev. The Acca pays 4-1. I was just sort of thinking, would I rather back or lay it? I think I'd probably rather back it. I'm not putting it up as such, but I certainly think that I'd rather be a backer of it than a layer. Maybe Zenit would be the dodgy ones, but a lot of shorties to watch out for, I think, over the Tuesday and Wednesday.
Brilliant. Excellent. Thank you very much indeed, Mark. That's a wrap for the Mark Langdon's Bets Club. Thank you also for James Milton. Thank you so much for your questions and also, obviously, for listening. Don't forget to rate, review and subscribe. Don't forget to gamble safely, and we'd love you to join us next week for another Mark Langdon's Bets Club.